We're in the sixth parak of Avos. G'dayla Torah shinosenes chayim la'oseh ba'olam hazeh u'ba'olam haba. The greatness of Torah is seen that it gives chayim to those who do the Torah in this world and the next, like it says, shenemar, ki chayim heim l'motze'ehem u'l'chol b'saro marpei. Ba'omer it says, rifus tehila shorech v'shikui la'atmosecha. All these psukim are describing the Torah in context of healing and strength and accompanying you and adornment. It's like a crown. It's how you count your days and your years. Many of these are songs that we're familiar with. The psukim that are being listed here are all describing this idea that the Mishnah begins with. Torah is an investment in this world and the next. Some people think Torah is just for the next world kind of thing. Like, what do I get out of Torah in this world? Some people see the benefits of Torah in this world and don't even think about the next world. And the reality is that it's both. Torah gives chayim in this world and the next. So the first question is, what is chayim? What does it mean, Torah gives chayim? You want to tell me air is necessary for life? You want to tell me water is necessary for life? Torah is nosenes chayim. Torah gives chayim. So, I guess we'll say we're not talking about physical life. Maybe we're talking about a context of meaningful life, purposeful life. There are places in Chazal where Chazal tell us that certain people, their chayim ain't chayim, their lives are no lives. We say today get a life, like they don't have a life. You live like this, you don't have anything. And we talk about certain bad character traits that emotes yasa adam in the oilam. You have these character traits, forget about it. Kinna, taifa, kavod, if you're driven by jealousy, consumed by jealousy, pursuit of honor, addicted to his lusts and desires. So what kind of life is that? What kind of life does he have? Torah gives chayim. Torah gives us the ability to live a meaningful life, a purposeful life, maybe even an enjoyable life. People are pleasure numb. People indulge to such an extent that it's very hard to actually feel happiness, joy. And when you follow the guidelines of the Torah, you don't have it all. You don't have everything when you want it. There's no constant instant gratification. You have to work for things. You have to wait for things. You have to be patient. And when you do have things that are pleasurable, it's more meaningful and it's more pleasurable. And it could perhaps generate a certain degree of happiness that comes with the self-restraint beforehand. For someone who is foreign to Torah, it's hard to explain the concept that what kind of Olam Hazeh do you have without Torah, without mitzvahs. The fact of the matter is, it's probably a strong argument that those who are careful with Torah mitzvahs enjoy life more than those who don't. The ones who don't have Torah mitzvahs are always looking for something. They're looking for something. Looking for meaning, looking for pleasure, looking for exhilaration, looking for adventure, because their life is ho-hum. And if you live a Torah-dic life, you don't have to look for these things. There is a fascinating arrangement of psukim
in Parshas Bereishis, where the Torah describes Bi'as Ha'olam, and it gets to the fourth day. And on the fourth day of creation, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, let there be Ma'oros Berakiya HaShemayim, let there be the lights in the Rakiya HaShemayim in the sky. And they are going to separate between day and night. These will be La'osos, Ula Mo'adim, Ula Yamim, Vishanim. These will be the ways that we can determine signs from the sky. These will be the way Yom Tovim will be determined. These will be the day, the days of the week will be determined, the years. And the next pasuk says, "V'ha'yu l'me'oris v'rkiyah shemayim ha'ir la'aretz," and there'll also be light in the sky to give light on the earth. V'hichein, so it was. So Rashi says, "V'ha'yu l'me'oris," that's the second pasuk, there'll be light in the sky, so there'll be light on earth. Oid zois yishamshu. They'll also serve this purpose. Sheyiru la'olam. They'll also give light to the world. There's no sun, there's no moon, there's no stars. The Yetzer Hashem is creating the sun, the moon, and the stars. Why? So the first pasuk says, La'isas, Moadim, Yamim, Shanim. How are you going to know when it's Yom Tov? How are you going to know when it's Shabbos? How are you going to know when a day passes? Man Kriyas Shema, Man Tefillah. How are you going to know all these things? You have to have the sun and the moon and so on. The next pasuk, "V'ha'yu l'me'oris berakiyah hashamayim l'ha'ar la'aretz." The sun, this light in the sky, will give light onto the earth. Rashi says, "Oid zos." Yeah, this too. In addition to the above, "Oid zos." This also, the sun will serve a purpose to give light on earth. Is there life on earth without the sun? Without the sun, without photosynthesis? Well, there's no life on earth. Life cannot survive without the sun. It's not as we know it. But that's not the first pasuk. It doesn't say in pasuk, I'm going to make the sun in the sky so life can survive on earth. And in addition, now you can have Yom Tov and Shabbos and Zman Kriyas Shema, Zman Tefillah. It's backwards. The pasuk says, I'm giving you the sun, I'm creating a sun, so you can have Yom Tov and Shabbos as my creation. And by the way, I'm also giving you a sun so you can live on the planet Earth and it can sustain life. So Rashi Zichron Levracha would say, you see in these psukim, and the way Rashi explains Oid Zos, that Torah comes first. And the whole creation is kind of secondary to Torah. And the message is that one can never argue that, yeah, 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, 5,000 years, that's when Torah was relevant. But in our day, in our age, in our advanced, enlightened era, Torah is not relevant anymore. You can never say that, because the pasuk puts Torah, mitzvahs, before life on earth. To tell you that no matter what era you live in, no matter how enlightened you think you are, you have to follow the Torah. You have to follow the mitzvahs. That's the whole purpose of everything. So when we talk about chayim and olam hazeh, the Mishnah is saying Torah gives chayim lo'oseh b'olam hazeh, it gives life in this world. So I look at it perhaps from the philosophical perspective, that there is no purpose of life in this world without Torah. The whole Torah precedes life on earth. Or you could bring the other medrash, the Torah kadma l'bi'as ha'olam, Torah precedes creation, histakel b'ra'aseh b'ra'alma, the Bereishis looked in the Torah, it was the blueprint, and from the Torah he created the world. The world is a response to the Torah. And ultimately, a person who lives a life according to the Torah will live a happy, fulfilled, meaningful life. If a person doesn't, they'll be searching. If someone is not the searching type, they may never be searching. They may be happy just not to search, and they'll just watch television or movies or Netflix or YouTube, whatever it is today, whatever it will be 10 years from now, whatever is going to change into something else. And they'll just let their years wallow by, and that's what's going to go. And that's how they're going to live. But ultimately, those who live meaningful, fulfilling lives live according to the Torah. Yeah?
Aren't there also cases like Yaakov, where he led a meaningful life, but not necessarily a happy one? At least when he talked to Paro, that's what
he said. Yaakov, you know? Yeah. The Medrash takes Yaakov to task for his appearance and his statement of how he felt. He's taken a task for it. It was like the silliest thing you could have ever said, the way they say it. Here, you're supposed to go to Mitzrayim and change. Instead, you're coming as a melech. The Baruch Hashem worked everything out in such a way that he shouldn't come and change to Mitzrayim. So the Chazal takes strong issue with his response to what was going on at that point in his life.
Right, but I mean, if Yaakov Avinu went through circumstances that made him live a meaningful life, but not necessarily a happy life, all the more so, we might live.
There could be people who live meaningful lives and aren't happy. As we're trying to malam as a chus on the unhappy people. Okay. I can hear that. Another way of putting it is, there are people who are angry at God. I hope he wasn't. After the Holocaust, there were people like that. They couldn't understand how this could possibly be. There's a story I may not have told you. I'm pretty sure it was Klausenberger Rebbe. I might be wrong. Pretty sure it's Klausenberger Rebbe, who was a survivor and was going to Montreal for a gathering to strengthen one of the Moises. I'm pretty sure, did I tell you the story before? Yeah, I think it was Klausenberger Rebbe. He was going to Mechazik HaMoesed, and his driver is taking him to Montreal from New York, and it's late and it's frigid. Montreal gets really cold in the wintertime. And it was really cold, and they were lost, and there's no GPS, and they don't know where they're going, they're driving on the streets. And they finally see a person walking with a coat, without a yarmulke, without a hat, and the Rebbe says to the gabbai, pull over, he'll tell us where we need to go. And he says, he won't know where we're going to the yeshiva. This fellow on the street in Montreal without a hat, he's not going to pull over, he's going to tell us where to go. So the rabbi says twice, the Rebbe lowers the window and says to him in Yiddish, stranger on the street, in the cold, how do I get to this yeshiva, you know, we're trying to go. So the man answers him in Yiddish, how do you know I'm Jewish? So he says, get in the car, it's cold, I said, get in the car. And he gets in the car, and he says to him, the only person who's going to walk on a frigid night in Montreal without a hat on his head is a Yid who's angry at God. No one else is going without a hat. And he said, hey, I'm angry. He described his losses in the Holocaust, and the Klausenberger told him his losses, and they cried together. And he eventually told him where to go to his thing. And years later, the story goes, he came back to the fold and 15 years later said the story over himself in his Bekesh Hashtoyim of the whole thing. But there's a concept of the angry Yid. So there are people who suffer and they're not happy or they're angry. But ultimately, we'll try to find a Melamed Zechus for them, and we're certainly in no position to judge such people. Barring terrible tragedies and sufferings like that, for everyday life, if a person follows the rules of the Torah, there's some purpose in their life. If you don't, kind of empty. That's Olam Hazeh. Then we get to Olam Haba. Torah is what gives Chayim in Olam Haba. So all mitzvahs give us our Olam Haba. All the mitzvahs we do are meaningful for Olam Haba. We learn this, we're taught it, we study it. There's no Schar Mitzvah by Ha'al Malekha. Schar Mitzvah is not for this world. Schar Mitzvah is for the next world. If you prepare on Friday, you have what to eat on Shabbos. You don't prepare on Friday, there's nothing to eat on Shabbos. So too, you have to prepare in this world for the next world. So we prepare, we put away, we don't get schar from mitzvahs in this world that's put away, it's in a bank account, we don't see it, so it's an emunah, essentially. You're doing it without seeing the karen. Maybe sometimes you see the peiros, but the karen you're not going to see. The Navi will tell us, lechel namal otzel, look at the ant, you lazy person, look what the ant does. The ant goes and it scurries and hurries and stores food and stores food and stores food and puts it away. Far longer than the lifespan of the ant. The ant can never live long enough to eat all the food that he puts away and stores away. And we say, lechel namal otzel, the lazy person, look at the ant. This is what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be putting away mitzvahs, storing away stuff. It's not for this world, it's for the next world. But why the emphasis on Torah more than anything else? All mitzvahs that way. All mitzvahs are for Olam Haba. Torah gives chayim for Olam Haba. So this always brings us back to the well-known, often quoted Maamar Chazal, Noshim b'may zachin. Women will merit Olam Haba for which mitzvah? How are they going to get their Olam Haba? And the Gemara's response is, they're going to bring their children to cheder to learn Torah, they're going to wait for the husbands who are learning Torah to come home, and so on. So the Gemara asks like an obvious question, how do women get Olam Haba if they don't learn Torah? And the answer is, they also have a connection to Torah through their husbands and their children. So it's very troubling, because the Gemara is making an assumption that there is no connection for women to Olam Haba without Torah. With all the mitzvahs you have, all the mitzvahs you could do, if you don't have Torah, because what is it saying, Noshim b'may zachin? I'll tell you about my zachin. The mafresh challah, and they give tzedakah, and they daven, and not to mention keeping kosher, and sneis. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. What kind of question is that, Noshim b'may zachin? And then the Gemara's answer is, oh, well, their husbands are learning and they're waiting for them and they bring their children carpool in the morning to learn. He doesn't list all the things that women do. So the assumption is that Torah is a prerequisite for Olam Haba, and if women don't learn Torah, so how do they have that prerequisite? How do they get their Olam Haba? So Gemara says, no, they do have a connection to Torah through their husbands and children. Now, what's so troubling about this Gemara is that on the face of it, on the surface, it just seems to say, okay, single girls, single women don't have Olam Haba, forget about it. I don't care how many mitzvahs you've done, how many mitzvahs you do, you're mesiras nefesh, you're not married, you don't have children, there's no one for your Olam Haba. And that's very troubling. It's very troubling. There are lo aleinu young people who die. There are older people who die who never got married. There are people who never had children. You understand the difficulty of this Maamar Chazal. This is very difficult. What is Chazal trying to convey? If, let's start with the if. If we're going to learn that Torah is an absolute prerequisite, and there are some who learn that way, then you're going to have to connect even unmarried women to Torah, either through their learning themselves, since the advent of Sarah Schneer, we could thank her for that, but for generations or millennia before her, it wasn't like women were learning Torah. At least not like previous Yaakov, don't have that. But today, one could argue that they have connection to the Torah themselves, they learn. Women say Birchas Torah in the morning. They learn the Torah relevant to their mitzvahs. Even if they don't have a mitzvah Talmud Torah, they learn Torah. So that's for sure a connection. Perhaps one could go further. If a woman does not learn, or a girl does not learn Torah, perhaps she facilitated other people's learning. Maybe it's a father, maybe it's a brother, maybe it's a donation to a yeshiva, to a kollel. It doesn't have to be a husband and children. Perhaps that's the most common from the Gemara's perspective. From the Gemara's perspective, maybe that's most common. Today, I don't know, some girls complain, some girls don't. their brothers are home from yeshiva, they don't drive. So they want to ride to Beis Medrash, they want to get picked up, take them back and forth, like a chauffeur service. So some girls don't like it, and some girls look at it, this is a chos of a chelek in the Torah. And if a parent is learning, so you're not going to disturb him when he's learning, that itself is a connection to Torah. So a wife is waiting for a husband, so a daughter is also waiting for her father, and not going to disturb him when he's learning, even though she needs something. That could also be considered a connection. There are other ways you could connect yourself. That's again with the if. If we assume, if Torah is an absolute prerequisite, then you're going to have to find the shaykhus to Torah. So in the time of the Gemara, the simple shaykhus was through a husband and children, but it doesn't have to be. There are other ways you could connect to Torah. And of course, the most obvious is the learning that you've done yourself. I also wonder if the Gemara's question, Noshem Aizachin, is wondering that not all women were doing so much davening. They weren't doing that much. They lit their candles, but, as the husbands give the tzedakah, many women were illiterate. They didn't daven. They said some bakashas, perhaps. It's true they kept kosher and sneezes. That's true. That stuff that was in B'yadayim. But maybe the Gemara felt they have to have something more active, so they came up with the husbands and the children. Yes?
Did they understand why they were keeping kosher and sneezes?
It was a misservice from the office. This is what our parents did. We go back to obviously in Yankee, we go back to Kabbalah Satira, and I think that which they knew, they weren't stupid, just they weren't taught.
It doesn't have to do with stupidity.
They weren't educated. They weren't educated formally in school. It was what they learned at home. So a lot of this is we're Jewish. What does it mean to be Jewish? Because we keep kosher, we keep kashabis, we dress this way. And this is our misservice of us all the way back. I don't know if it's more complicated than that. It was a period of what we call the Emuna Pshuta. People had a very simple Emuna. It was very simple. It was not complicated. They may not have known a lot, but their Emuna was very simple. Today, we may know a lot more, but our Emuna is not that simple anymore. We don't have such a very simple acceptance of the Ibrahim Shem's involvement in our life, so to speak. So we're a little more thoughtful about it. And make ourselves confused sometimes. But it was a different kind of world. So the Mishnah is emphasizing the greatness of Torah, which is the whole theme of this parak, in that Torah is what gives Chaim in this world, Chaim in the next world. And as it lists off all these psukim, that this is our adornment, this is our jewel, this is our crown. It includes the pasuk of Eitz Chaim Hilam Achazikim Bav Samchem Ushar. Even one who does not learn personally, but one supports learning, has the zechus of Torah. And this again is something which applies not only to a wealthy benefactor; it applies to every woman whose husband learns Torah. So she's also the Eitz Chaim Hilam Achazikim Bav Samchem Ushar. She is making it possible. She is a facilitator for his ability to go and learn. This is the way I look at it. This is how you measure your days. How do you measure your time? You may not wonder about this too much yet in your life, but eventually you may start wondering. How do you look back on your accomplishments? What have I done? You could do this at a birthday. What have I done since last year? You could do it after a decade. What do I have to show for the past year, for the past 5 years, for the past 10 years? So if someone is studying Torah, he could say, listen, I went through that Shas 7 years. I did Daf Yom. I went through Shas. That's how I measured my 7 years, 7.5 years. I accomplished something. I'm sure there are a lot of things in 7.5 years. But that stands out. This is an accomplishment that you've looked back upon. It could be a measuring stick of what has been accomplished through Torah. For some people, looking back at a birthday milestone, you know, what have I done the last year is a depressing endeavor. For some people, it's a happy occasion. It could be both at the same time. I think that we should strive at our birthdays to think about what I can do better the following year. Even if you're not learning Torah, whatever you're doing, what can I do different this coming year that I haven't done last year? What can I do better? And if you don't do this yearly, certainly at milestone years, I don't know, every 5 years, every 10 years, I've heard this from older people, that they reach special birthdays. Now, what am I going to do different from that one? What am I going to change? And it's not like until now you don't keep Torah mitzvahs. You do keep Torah mitzvahs. So you got to think long and hard. You got to think long and hard. Is next year going to be a repeat of last year? Or is it going to be a higher level than it was last year? So you really have to consider what is the right thing for you if you want to continually grow. Something you could point at, maybe not to touch it, but something you could point at, this is where I'm at now, and this is where I'm progressing, instead of how I'm regressing. There are things people could do that are chitzonius. There are things they could do that are pnimius. There are things that you can show for in a very external way, and things that are internal. I suspect the internal is more significant than the external. I'm trying to think of examples that would apply to you. I'm not sure I'm coming up with anything. I know, you know, with men, so you wear a talus. Okay. Do you put tchilas in your talus? So one chasha person I know, at his 70th birthday, he got tchilas in his talus. Limit. His 80th birthday, he started wearing a Bana Tom's film. What am I going to do different? I'm a new age, a new era. I can't just keep doing the same. I got to do something different. So what is it that I'm going to pick up? Maybe it's benching from a sitter. If you bench from a sitter already, maybe it should be saying Al Michi from a sitter. If you say Al Michi from a sitter, maybe it should be saying brachas in the morning from a sitter. If you do all of that, then the next step might be saying Tehillim every day. Maybe you say Tehillim every day. I'm not sure what it is for where you're at, but you should think about it. What can I do better? What can I do better? There was a time when you read the Maseiach Yesharim, that's something people should do nightly, weekly. Okay, how about yearly? Yearly, try to think, what can I do different? What can I do better? Not to stay the same. We're not going to stay the same. We're not going to keep doing the same things over and over. It could take a lot of thought. It could take a lot of thought. It could take days and weeks to come up with something. But I think it's worth the effort. It's worth the effort. Ki oirech yamim ushnas chayim. This is the length of your days, the years of your life. This is how you measure that you're constantly growing, constantly accomplishing, constantly striving to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And whether it's, you know, I don't know if learning a few minutes a day is the right answer or not. You have to know for yourself, is that a right thing? Maybe once a week. I keep coming across women who tell me about, they have these family conference calls once a week, twice a week. They learn Hilchos Shabbos together. They learn Hilchos Shabbos together. They learn Shemitah Lashon together. All the sisters, all the siblings, whatever, they once a week connect and they do this. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Why do I know about it? Because they come to me with a shot like this and explain that they have this group, and it's more than one person came to me with this already. So people have ways to be connected with family, with all kinds of technology today. So some people take that, good. Now we're going to, once a week, get together and we're going to learn something together. We're going to work on something together. And it's a connection with their siblings or perhaps close friends working on the ruchnius. So all of these things are within our grasp of, you know, again, learning by yourself, that could be a good thing too, perhaps. You have to know for yourself where you're at, what you should be doing now. I think that ultimately, if you think about it, you will come up with something, and then you'll have a way to look back in time and gauge progress. You'll be able to see what I've accomplished over the past years, 5 years, decade. Again, right now, you may not be thinking too much about that, but eventually you will. So it'll give you something to recognize growth and look back on achievement and accomplishment for yourself that would otherwise be lacking. So that's a suggestion that I think ties into this concept. But ultimately, I think that the point of the Mishnah is that we should appreciate Torah and Mitzvahs because of what it gives us, not just for the next world, but it gives us for this world as well.